A question came up a while ago around wish list. The reason this is not labeled official yet is because the board has not approved a budget. The board will not approve a budget until our June meeting. There are a number of moving parts to this budget. I will speak not on behalf of the entire finance committee, nor will I speak on behalf of the full board, but I will speak on myself as chair of the finance committee. I will not approve a budget that does not include these items at a minimum for the diversity and equity work we need to do next year. I have a couple other just quick questions relative to a couple of things you mentioned, Lisa. One is you mentioned that we've made an offer. Congratulations on the Jedi coordinator. We won't get into HR things here, but I know we've got an offer out. Was it down to two or three good candidates at the end, and we chose the one we liked best? I hope we don't have to start over if candidate number one doesn't accept. We have candidates number two and three are strong, I hope.
Yeah, we had very strong candidates, and we really had an incredible panel, and really appreciated the student feedback as well as the parent feedback of this panel. And I think that Mike did an incredible job. Mike Oz did an incredible job as facilitator. So very thoughtful rubric that we went through. Everybody kind of worked out what they felt. We then sent it in, and we all saw it come up in terms of ratings. And, you know, I would say that two-thirds of the group went with this candidate, and a third, this person was the second choice. So it really very strong.
Good. I'll stop monopolizing the conversation with one more comment and one question. My question is, the summer program that we've got coming up, it's my understanding it's my understanding that stipends have been offered for teachers that have come back to the classroom this spring. Is that correct?
So this is where I was working on this throughout the afternoon. The summer program is a specialized grant just on learning loss.
Got it. So okay.
That's completely paid for. It's not something we're fundraising for. We just learned we got.
Got it. Thank you for that. And then my final is comment. Uma, I've heard your last name pronounced a couple different ways tonight. I will refer to you as Uma. And I will thank you for everything you've done for the school. I know we've had a chance to meet a couple of times, and the success you had with the school speaks volumes for the children that have spoken tonight. And Ms. Humphrey, I forget what grade you taught Natalie science, but thank you for doing so. And thank you for all your work throughout the years, and also your work on the WASC. And I'm looking forward to joining that conversation, which I think is coming up next weekend. So that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mike. Any other comments from the board?
Yeah, I have a few comments and questions. So could we go back to the first slide?
Go ahead. Yeah.
Please. Do you think we, okay, great. Oh, sorry, I meant the second. Whatever the one was, what we've spent this, this one. So one of the things I noted on here was that there were a couple of things like food service, home delivery. My understanding is that those are expenses that we would have spent pre-pandemic, like we provide food in general as a school. And so I don't think it's right to put it on the equity budget, right? So that's one comment I would make. The other thing I would say is I'd be interested to see also like what was the income coming in, because you know, I understand that we had some grants, we had a board member give money, we had the special fundraiser we did for $22,000. And, you know, I think that part of our approach when we say, you know, we're going to make sure everything gets paid for, and then whatever, you know, if we can raise more money, then we'll do equity, is really the wrong approach. But I would certainly would really, really not want to see that we haven't at least spent all the money that's come in, right, for these initiatives. The SPED additional support, is that something that comes out of like the equity fundraising, or is that because I know there was a lot of grants that were given to schools, you know, to really combat learning loss during the pandemic that paid for things like Chromebooks and paid for things like, you know, extra services for students. And so, you know, I just want to make sure that we're not trying to conflate different budgets. So I guess that's a question. It'd be helpful to get that information, but I have a couple other comments before we go there. The other thing I don't see on here is stipends for the affinity group leaders. And I think, you know, a big reason why folks are here today speaking is because of the loss of teachers of color. Every year, you know, there's just generally high turnover at OSA, which is heartbreaking. And then we lose teachers of color, and then we replace them with fewer teachers of color. Right? Every year, we have a net loss on the academic side that I've seen since my kids have been here, starting in 2015. And so we need to have like a real focus on how are we retaining and supporting our teachers of color. And I don't see the affinity groups on here either. Or maybe that's the $8,000 stipend on the next page for next year. But, you know, we have the affinity group leaders. There's like six or seven affinity groups. We have the task force members, right? I mean, we're asking, as we should, a lot of people to be part of this work, because it's going to take a whole village, a whole team to actually pull it off. The last thing I would say has to do with like, what's the accountability structure? And I really, you know, as a board member, I also actually feel that it is, that we need to be more clear about that. And that, you know, I understand the frustration, because on the one hand, the board runs the school and oversees the administration, right? But on the other hand, the administration brings in draft budgets and brings in, you know, proposals and brings in, you know, we kind of start out with what the administration is recommending. And I think we just need to like really roll up our sleeves and just be like constantly meeting. And we do need to have, you know,
you may have frozen, Hui-Ling, if you can hear me.
I can hear you, Dwayne. So,
okay.
She looks like she stopped moving also.
Okay, well, let's see. Do we have any other, and if Hui-Ling comes back and still, I'll make sure.
Josefina's got her hand up, Dwayne. I see.
Oh, thank you. Go ahead, Josefina.
Thank you, Dwayne. I also wanted to thank Uma for all of her work over the years at OSA, and to recognize Ms. Humphrey for all of her work. She taught all three of my kids, and I really appreciate the contribution of both of them. So I wanted to say that.
Thank you very much.
Well, Ling is moving again, if you want to.
Yeah, sorry, I'm sorry. My internet went out. So the last thing I was saying is that I think we really need to roll up our sleeves, because there is a problem of, you know, oh no, they're responsible. Right? Administration doesn't get the budget that they need. You know, the board doesn't have the hands-on kind of responsibilities that move this work forward. And so I'm not suggesting that we all are responsible, because if we do that, then nobody's responsible. But we really do need to like be meeting much more often as the board, the administration, the task force. You know, I'm talking about like once a week, right? To really roll up our sleeves and get the work done, because it needs to happen now. I mean, I just can't overemphasize that, you know, and we have a finance committee that doesn't know what the advancement committee is doing. It doesn't know what the equity committee is doing. And it's not going to get fixed until all three of those committees are like working in absolute, you know, lockstep together. And we just have to make it our mission. We're going to get this done. And if plan A didn't work, we're going to come up with a plan B like the very next week, right? And we need to have that kind of focus. We have a lot of expertise on the board, with a lot of commitment on the board and within the administration. You know, I agree with folks who have said it certainly wouldn't hurt to have additional outside help with the consultants. And there are things that, you know, there are things that best practices that maybe we don't know about that we should learn, but, you know, but we do need to, we have to like come up with structures where it's not possible to just kind of point the finger and say, well, I would love to do it, but I can't because it's somebody else's fault. Right. And it's everybody's responsibility to make it happen.
All right. Thank you, Wei-Ling. Do we have any other comments from the board? All right, I will just make a comment and then we'll transition over to Mike Oz. I just want to acknowledge the APT. Last night I had a chance to attend and participate as a parent, representing as a parent. And I just want to say there were a lot of good discussion, great ideas. And so I just wanted to make sure if that has not already happened, I'll make sure, you know, Lisa, to your point around other suggestions and ideas, around some of the recruitment, definitely want to make sure we connect the two so you can check those out. But again, I just my hat off to APT, so thank you. All right, Mr. Oz, you're up with the principal and school report.
Sure, can I see people for a sec, Dwayne, if you're able to?
I think David, there we go.
Thank you. Just quickly, I know we've all spoken a lot tonight, but just very simply, I just want to express gratitude. We're a school with a lot of problems, and we're a community with a lot of strength, and without difficult conversation, we're not going to work through these problems. I've been here 15 years. I've seen some intense moments, and this is up there in one of the most intense ones. And it, without getting into too much detail, it's sitting on me heavy in a lot of ways. It's not easy, but it doesn't matter. This is what we need to do. So gratitude to all involved and all who are willing to go through intense, difficult moments to try to bring something forward is critical. But extra layer of gratitude to kids. The advocation, the ability to step in front and to do this, it's 8:24 at night right now. The alumni and seeing, I'm just seeing the people in front of me, but seeing Nia and Tracy Thomas, I saw your eyes when people nominated you in the chat to be on the board, her eyes turned about this big. Just, I know I may not be entirely trusted by all. I have so much love for this school, and I intend to do my best to try to keep us on course. And I'm grateful for those that are ready to endure the difficult conversations. So I'll move in to what I'm gonna present. It feels less relevant than it otherwise would, but I will work through it because it is important stuff. So I've got a few things I'm gonna share here, a quick update on our in-person instruction. It has been a lifesaver literally for some of our students. The emails I've got from parents, I as a parent of a fifth grader at home dealing with our own issues, it brought me to tears when I read it to our cohort leaders that life has been transformed for some young people as they get a little return to normal, and parents writing saying, my kid is like wanting to get dressed in the morning. And this is heavy. The stuff we've been dealing with is heavy. I'm going to give an update on Measure N and G1, some funding sources that I've been pursuing for the last few years. WASC, this has been the perfect storm of a year where everything that could be due in a given year has happened simultaneously. So we're up for our WASC accreditation process. And then a brief update on our planning for next year. Oh, that picture there is kids in a classroom. I believe that's 227. In fact, I know it is because that was the first room I occupied the day we moved into the Fox. Here's the planning team. This is before kids came in. This is the Thursday or Friday before spring break, if you could call it a break, because this team did not get it. This was a think tank where you could just feel the energy in the room. Everyone here has a very specific aspect of the planning they're doing. That's Miss Bradburn at the board, who took over the instructional planning. And I know if she's thinking in her head, don't give me credit, because she's going to say Miss Farmer in the back and Mr. Q deserve the credit as well. And they most certainly do. But Miss Bradburn put together a plan with such complexity that when it was actually unrolled, it looked relatively simple. And that's in art in and of itself. It's been very successful. Next slide, please. Here's some sixth graders who have never met each other. Think about this. Wow. In April, going to their first week of school. That's one of our cohort leaders in the back. Our cohort leaders have been amazing. I wish I could talk for an hour on it because there's a lot to share, but I'm going to be brief. I know we're all tired. Next slide, please. So sixth grade, we've had about 70 students on campus, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday for 3 hours a day. The equity was the focus in this. And when you're working from a position of equity, you're going to disappoint people because people are going to go, well,
why can't we have the teacher in front of the room teaching? Because what's that going to do for the kids that are not in the classroom that day receiving the in-person instruction? And what are the barriers that are preventing them to getting to the school? Long story short, every aspect of the design, and especially in the instructional planning that Ms. Bradburn focused on, had equity in mind. And it's truly remarkable to see how it's unfolded. We want to make sure that the kids at home are receiving a comparable experience while we're doing what we can to support the kids who are coming to campus. So sixth grade has been a major success. When times are hectic, you need a real strong division of labor. A healthy organization has it. Ms. Zog and myself happen to luckily like each other's company because we've been working together about 10 hours a day this year. And in going into this, I was working with the sixth grade team, managing that for that part of their return, while she took on the hub, which is supporting the students who have faced the most significant access gaps while we've been remote. And she, through a very difficult process, because believe me, there's hundreds of parents who want their kids on our campus right now, she was able to invite the 85 that we knew we could actually support and that we're in the most need of this extra support and academic intervention. And it's been beautiful. She would tell you, she might be here right now, but she even, the kids who in a normal situation are like, you know, the vibe might be that they don't want to be at school. They've been reaching out and like, it's so grateful to be at school. We know we are a home and a hub, and it's why it's called the hub to so many people. It's been magical to see, I don't use that word. I don't know why I did, but it's accurate. It's been pretty magical to see the students, you know, who have been most removed and most distanced through all of this come and be in person. And then there's been some arts opportunities. Those are approved on a case-by-case basis as requested by the arts teachers. Without going into too much detail, that's an overview. We're in person and it's really exciting. Next slide, please. Measure N and G1, for those of you that are Oakland residents, you see this on your taxes and you might get frustrated. Please don't, because they're very helpful to us and other schools. Measure G1 is $120. Each of these, I think, are $120 parcel taxes. G1 is specific for middle school to fund arts opportunities and supports for students. The allocation for us is relatively small, about 19,000. But we did apply and with community feedback and support of our spending to get instruments to lend to our sixth grade incoming IM students. Summer Bridge program for academic supports to once again address the access gaps that I described a moment ago, and Challenge Day for our seventh grade students. Measure N is a much more significant funding source. And as you've heard about the pathway development over the years, a lot of it is born out of the Measure N grant that I first pursued about 4 years ago. Our allocation this year is $240,000. Nothing to, very significant in the overall budget. Dr. Dolores Thompson is the largest investment this year in terms of how we're using this grant. We're moving her part-time role as pathway coordinator to full-time. It is clear that what she can do for our school in terms of really bringing up college and career preparation as it connects to the artistic pathways is going to be unstoppable. Her and I work very well together. We presented to the commission yesterday. It was a major relief for me to be able to enter this for the first time with a partner like Dolores, and we tag teamed and I think did what felt like an excellent job in presenting to the commission on how we intend to use the funds. We'll find out soon if we get approved. I do expect that we will. Pathway coordinator being the most significant there, and then some pathway leads, business of the arts. We're bringing in the entrepreneurial aspect to both of our arts pathways, and we're going to add on a senior capstone class, which once lived within the high school, or within the 12th grade English class. It will be a 12th grade required pathway cohorted class where the students are kind of getting that last entrepreneurial aspect as it connects to their art form. Connected to them writing a grant, which ultimately I'd love to see board members and other people who want to be involved be part of the panel when the students present their grant ideas to a panel. Next slide, please. WASC. This is school accreditation. It's such a like harsh word, and it kind of describes the process because it's very difficult to do. This has been a year in the making. Julie Humphrey, who's been mentioned a few times, is retiring. And
she has been amazing. She stayed aboard to lead us through this process. Very noble thing to do. She led us through it 6 years ago. The most you can do, get accredited for, is 6 years. We were given that accreditation last time. We're hopeful that we can receive the same accreditation again. And this involves a 300-page report with input from all stakeholders, a 3-day, technically 4-day, because for whatever reason, they need to meet with us on a Sunday as well, 4-day site visit. And we'll know at the end of June. So looking at how this work has been done and the diligence that Ms. Humphrey's been put in, I feel very optimistic, but it's certainly nothing to take for granted. It's an arduous process, and we'll share with you guys as soon as we know at the end of June what our future accreditation looks like. Next slide, please. 21 to 22 school year update. This is just, there's so much going on and trying to even, it's hard to predict for the unknown, obviously. We've done a decent job at it. It's also exhausted us in this past year. But we do have a calendar that's nearly finalized, working in collaboration with COSATS. This has been another wonderful aspect for me of being back on campus, is being around people in the human interaction and teachers, namely in this situation, Ms. Bradburn, just being able to check in with her like 10 times a day and be able to run ideas back and forth. It's been very healthy and productive. We're looking at an August 16th start date. It poses a couple issues in terms of balancing out semester one with semester two, but it looks like the preference of all parties involved. It's a week later than OUSD for those of us who are who grew up when I did, or you know, a while back. August 16th seems crazy. Well, OUSD's August 9th is a shift that I'm in favor of because it allows semester one to end before winter break, but it does just kind of pose some challenges that you guys could probably imagine. Vacations are aligned with OUSD. They just released their calendar last week. That's kind of the delay for us. We always have a draft. Thank you, Romy, because you do a great job putting the draft together. Don't release anything until we see OUSD so we can make sure we align, as we have many kids that are in the district and at our school. So the planning for next year is, luckily we've learned a lot this year. I don't know if you are aware, if you recall, but we had 30 people, I think it was 26 or 27 actually, that were part of the design team for remote learning this year. I think it was successful. I can't say it was optimal because what has been, but it worked. We're getting that. We have a few weeks of school left and we've had a relatively successful year. The planning for next year, we got to plan for different scenarios. Really, we need to plan for either a full return or a partial return. We're doing this in collaboration with COSATS. We're going to reduce the team from 26 because, as I said, we've learned a lot. We know kind of where to aim, and the efficiency will be much stronger with about 10 people, which both management and COSATS agree that this is a better way to proceed. So you'll be hearing more about that soon. There are some new courses. The senior capstone I mentioned. Ninth graders are going to be taking health/navigating life as this in the semester when they're not in business of the arts. There's going to be some intervention classes. We always have math and language arts intervention classes, but we need an increase. We need to make sure that we're supporting all of our students to get everyone up to speed, given the challenges that have happened this school year. Expanding environmental science and data science is a course we're looking into, which is a maybe. The reason it's a maybe is we need to analyze if it's a good alternative to Algebra 2 for others. And this, if you were to zoom out, and I don't want this one to be left off because it was intended to be last and most, is expanded ethnic studies classes. And we're meeting with Mr. Taylor and Ms. Joshi collaboratively to look. We got U.S. history to be approved, A through G approved. I'm sorry. We got ethnic studies to be A through G approved as a U.S. histories course. So we're looking, do we want to provide that as an alternative to U.S. history, and students can actually satisfy the A through G requirement with the ethnic studies course? Do we want to look at a required ethnic studies course? And Melinda, I know you're here and you have a lot of experience in this regard. I would love if you were willing to be part of a brainstorming session and how to build this into our curriculum, because I know it's come up a million times, and I want to share that there is no battle there. It's something that's well supported on all ends. I think that's it from me. Yeah, public comment.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Oz. All right. Again, volunteers for or participants for public comment, please just put them in the chat. All right. Anya, I believe hopefully I pronounced that right. You're first, please.
Yes, you did. Thank you so much, Duane. My name is Anya Close. I teach sixth grade theater and 10th grade studio habits class at OSA. First, I just want to stand in solidarity with everything that the Board of Students of Color is asking for and make sure that, again, there is accountability for the demands that they're making. And secondly, thank you so much, Mike, for that presentation on coming back to school. I want to lift up an issue that my sixth graders are having right now. It's my understanding that the Google chat was disabled a couple days ago, which is understandable. I can see how that can get on some teachers' nerves, but my sixth graders have come to me asking to bring this up at the appropriate place, that they use Google chat as a way to communicate and build community. We have to remember that the sixth graders, a lot of them don't have cell phones. And so this is one of the only ways that they can actually interact with each other. I have an exit ticket I did one day that has a bunch of comments, if anybody in the administration would like to see it, regarding specifically how important this tool is to these students. And I just wanted to lift that up and lift up, you know, my sixth graders' concerns about that tonight. See if there's some way we can compromise, see if we can, you know, enable it during lunch, disable it during class time, some way to give them that tool again, because that's really important to them. So yeah, thank you.
Please share. Can you share the exit ticket with me, and I'll bring it up with the team tomorrow on campus?
Absolutely. Thank you.
Yep.
Thanks so much. Next we have Tracy Thomas.
Hi. Just a quick question. This is directly for Mr. Oz. I know you'll be comfortable to ask it in public. Just regarding your last point in the presentation with having the differentiation of ethnic studies versus world history as that social studies requirement for A through G's, has there been a conversation of actual integration of the two subjects, knowing that, you know, it does have value to have both of these knowledge is in our repertoire, especially as we're going into college or going into, you know, secondary education post high school. So has that been something that has been of consideration?
Yeah, that's the meeting that we have scheduled actually with Ms. Joshi, myself, Ms. Ogg, Ms. Schultz, and Mr. Taylor as department chair. And what I would, if you look at the A through G website for University of California, it suggests that you cannot have ethnic studies in the place of U.S. history. However, right. We were approved to have our ethnic studies class as a U.S. history approved A through G class. So we got a little research to do because there's a little bit of a contradiction in terms of what is being suggested as a requirement. But all of that range is what is up for discussion.
Gotcha. Is there also any consideration of non-administrative representation in these conversations as well? Just knowing that there's experience, there's knowledge and experience, hint, hint, alumni who have gone through the A through G process, even, you know, exiting seniors.
Tracy, it sounds like you're volunteering yourself to get
in. No. I'm just asking. I represent.
Yes. I mean, there's no obstruction to having that present. We have not even been able to get together to have, we've been in email threads, and we need to get our internal team together first. And yeah, absolutely. And you did kind of volunteer, and I might come knocking on your door.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Tracy. We have Karen Morphin.
I just want to make a suggestion. For ethnic studies, I would really love to see it as a requirement for all students, but I also would like to suggest outside resources for these classes so that we have a broader lens of classes being offered at Peralta, and maybe even incentivize some of our high school students to start taking some of those classes in the summer. There is a wonderful Asian Pacific Islanders through film class that is incredibly powerful API course at Peralta, besides, and it qualifies under the breadth of ethnic studies. So I would say, since we already have a really good liaison with Peralta colleges, look into some of those classes and even just see if there's a possibility that some of our students can start taking some of those classes early in the summer when their schedules are not crowded. Thank you.
Yeah, you know, it's an excellent suggestion. And we've met with Peralta and many community colleges, and we've actually approved many students to take the African American Studies class instead of U.S. history, as it has equally qualified. What I'm looking to do is in a more systemic way, so it's not just in a one-off in like a counseling session with a student, but building those partnerships. And that's actually part of what Dolores Thompson and I are working on together, as that is one of the priorities in the Measure N work, is the dual enrollment offerings.
All right, thanks, Karen. We have Simon next.
Hello. I just wanted to speak to what you said, Mr. Oz, at first about like how it may feel like we aren't able to trust you. I feel like I'm able to put my trust in you. And like, I see all these great, amazing ideas that are happening. It's just, I wonder like when it comes into like these ideas and actions, like following through and being like held accountable, as you know, that's just something I see as a student. A few board meetings ago, I had talked about like also my interest with like leadership team coming into our classes, seeing our arts performances more, and you followed up with me about that, and I found that really really like helpful. And I did reply late, but then I never received an email back from you. And I just would like to like hear more about this regularly than just at these board meetings.
Yeah. Sure, and I appreciate you, Simon, just saying all of that. My email, I used to pride myself in getting back to all emails, and my life has fallen apart. So I apologize. I just searched Simon on my mailbox. I'm gonna open that email, and when my brain works in the morning, when I've had two cups of coffee in me, I'm gonna write you back.
All right, thanks, Simon. So we have Chris Bradburn.
Hey, just a bit of levity or fun for a moment. One of the challenges we had this week, on Tuesday, I had to tell a student to stop running down the halls. And today, Mr. Oz had to check in on the classroom next to him because it was getting too loud. I think it was fun for both of us to actually have to deal with students getting a wee bit out of control. So I just wanted to throw that in there. And I don't know, Mike, you're welcome to comment. I know.
No, I was actually just trying to have some fun. I heard some noise and I went down there and they all got quiet when I walked in there. No, it's good. Watching kids have energy. It's just like, it's incredible. It for all of us involved. We are educators. We're built for that.
All right, thanks, Ms. Bradburn. And then we have Dr. Luisa De Jesus, and then we'll transition over to our board comment.
Hi, thanks again. Just wanted to say thanks so much for all of you for welcoming the sixth grade class to OSA. It has made a huge difference in terms of my daughter feeling like she's belonging to Vocal, and they're just so thankful to be in the building. You have no idea how much it has meant to them. I just want to say that ethnic studies is American studies, and ethnic studies is for everybody. So those classes, whether they're required or not, are important. I believe also that you can use an ethnic studies lens in any discipline. It doesn't have to be in a class that's called ethnic studies. What has to happen is that there has to be training for folks to realize that you can do that in terms of curriculum and specific kinds of pedagogies. And to answer Mr. Oz, of course, I would love to help with this. Curriculum is something of my passion. I am just pretty limited by what I do in humanities, though. So I just want to put that out there. I would love to help with this. My last question is, did you guys offer Ms. Joshi any kind of counter offer so she might stay? And what might that look like? So we can continue to build upon this legacy with her here, with the new Jedi coordinator. So we don't have to keep starting from zero. And I'm putting that out there in good faith because I don't know what has happened, but I'm just curious if that was something that senior administration looked into. Thanks.
All right, thank you. All right, board comments. Anyone from the board?
I was going to wait. I waited a little bit. I'll go first. Mike, Lisa, Chris, everybody on the team, thank you for reacting the way you did a year and a couple of months ago when we had to shift very quickly into distance learning, and you guys did one of the best, most seamless transitions I've seen, and I've had opportunity to work with a number of other organizations. Congratulations on getting kids back in the building. Congratulations on having that plan. And Lisa, welcome to the Fox Theater. You finally get to set foot in the building. So just kudos to everybody for all the work that's gone into that. Just an appreciation.
Thanks, Mike. Do we have anyone else from the board?
Yeah, if I could just add to what Mike was saying, number one, I do want to thank all of the staff, families, and students for just really showing great teamwork as we've gone through this experience of the COVID-19 pandemic and everything that it's brought. All of that said, it's brought a lot of chaos and distractions from the long-term work that we know we need to do as a school. I think a lot of what we're bringing up in terms of ethnic studies, in terms of equity, in terms of making sure that all students and communities are included as a part of our curriculum, as well as not just our student body, but also our team of educators, is core to the work that we're doing. This is something that came up at APT just last night. It's something that's been an ongoing part of our board meetings. And it's something that needs to not just be matched with rhetoric, but also with our actions. I know that we've talked about it as a board, but we also need to make sure that we are able to walk away with some concrete actions so that we can demonstrate how we're going to respond to a lot of the questions that the community, the staff, and the students are posing. Specifically, what we're going to do to make sure that we're not just recruiting, but also retaining teachers of color, how we're going to make sure that as we've done away with the tryouts for admission, what that's going to look like in terms of supporting students and making sure that we're not just supporting students, but bringing in a lot of the value that's brought to our student community by having a more inclusive student community. And finally, I really loved what Dr. Jesus was saying in terms of ethnic studies being part of US history. So number one, when we look at the content standards, we know that across the spectrum, that at all points, whether we're talking about US history, US government, or world history, obviously the histories of all people are part of that history. And second, there's also work that's been done in lots of surrounding districts around the ninth grade social studies courses, that course that falls in the opposite semester to health, in terms of whether or not we want to look at including something along the lines of ethnic studies. I'd love to hear from our leadership team what we can do to look at something along those lines, as well as what we can do in our existing courses, those being world history, US history, and US government, to make sure that we're inclusive of all communities in that history, not as an addition to a white history, but as an equal equivalent and equally important history that stands alongside, so that we truly have a history that's reflective of the history of the world and all of the people who have contributed to the formation of this country. So what I would ask is that we could talk about agendizing a discussion around what we're going to have in place next year, what our planning process will be for developing those curricula that we talked about within social studies. We talked briefly at our last board meeting about what we're doing along the lines of recruitment and retention of teachers of color, but maybe fleshing that out and beefing that up, because clearly the strategies that we have in place haven't yielded the results that we'd like. And then finally, what we're doing to make sure that students, as we're working to make sure that we have a student body that's more reflective of the community that we serve, what's happening to make sure that we're supporting students and bringing forth all of the value that our more diverse student body will bring as they come in. So I'd like to bring that up just publicly as items that we could bring forward in future board meetings to make sure that we're sharing that with the public and bringing that to the staff so that you guys have time to prepare something. Not just saying what we've already done, but making some concrete commitments in terms of outcomes that we want to see for next year and the years to come, and how we're going to include everyone in making sure that it actually happens. So that's a long-winded short comment, But I wanted to make sure that, that all of that's out there. So thank you.
Hey, thanks, Jason. All right, any other comments from the board?
Dwayne, there was a question in the chat.
Yeah, I have a comment. Yeah, but go ahead, Mike.
I just, the question came up. I wasn't trying to avoid an answer. I mean, you can't talk about people's individual salary offers or not, but I can answer in such a way that you can have your own conclusion to it. We can't offer a person a salary outside of the salary schedule. OSA did this for many years and it caused frustration in terms of the inequities caused by it. So we're not in a position to go, hey, and there's been circumstances where it would be in the moment the most desirable thing to do because you desperately want to hold on to something, to somebody, but it has caused so many problems down the road. So no, we are not making offers to people that are, you know, outside of the salary schedule to retain them.
Thanks, Mr. Oz. All right, Wei-Ling.
Yeah, I was actually going to talk about exactly that. I, as a board member, would support offering stipends outside of the salary schedule, because I think we need to recognize that these teachers, the teachers of color, are actually doing the work and that we need to pay them for the work they are doing, right? There's a brilliant program that they have, and Dr. Woods talked about this in our equity meeting at CSU, where students of color are paired up with faculty of color as mentors, and that they're getting paid extra to do that work. You know, the work that, so I think we should really look at that, right? You know, sure, there are going to be challenges. We got to deal with COSATs. We got to deal with like how to actually, you know, how to operationalize it, all of those challenges, but now is a time, right? That those challenges can need to be taken on, right? And, you know, I think between the task force that we're asking folks to participate in, between the affinity group advisor role that we're asking folks for, between the actual, you know, sort of the mentoring work that our teachers of color find themselves doing, you know, that is a big part of the story of why people feel like they can't do it anymore. You know, and I want to appreciate some of our other teachers, you know, Ms. Bradburn, who obviously does a ton of work outside of her regular duties between training and curriculum development, and really appreciate those contributions as well. But I, you know, and I think that we, you know, we can't just get in, like we need to be solving problems right now, right? We can't just keep coming up with what are all the barriers. We need to start knocking down all the barriers. And so, you know, so that's one thing. And I think that our teachers of color, you know, we might be able to, yeah, I would love to be able to talk Ms. Joshi into staying, right? If we give them real authority, right? If she can kind of see her ethnic studies program come to fruition, if she actually has a meaningful voice in how this equity work goes forward. It was really telling to me that Kev Choice was like, I didn't know I had a $22,000 budget. Like, what is that? Right? That is not acceptable, right? We need to do better than that. And so, you know, I think having our teachers of color really in the driver's seat in a meaningful way and not just making recommendations that fall flat is really where we need to go. And then the last thing I would say is that I want to make I don't know where we would do this. I'm sorry to put you on the spot, Dwayne, because I know you're kind of jumping into this chair role, and I appreciate you for doing that. But you know, I would like, we had a conversation last time about getting the advancement committee and the finance committee together. It didn't actually happen. You know, I would add that we need to have the equity committee talking to the finance committee and talking to the advancement committee in a real way. I don't know if that just means another board meeting, because that's a lot of people at that point, but you know, I want to make a motion that we're actually like meaningfully getting together those three areas to really talk about like, how do we make these changes? It, you know, may have to be a whole board meeting, because that's a lot of us, but.
Yeah.
So, I want to make that motion.
Thanks, Wei-Ling. I think what I can offer for the board and just the community tonight is, I know Romy's capturing the notes, we'll be able as a board, be able to look at that and I think take action, you know, on your comments, your suggestions. All right, do we have other comments from the board? All right, let's transition over to Ms. Klosky, and I just want to just thank you for your patience. So for the advancement report, please.
Dwayne, it's Steve. I'm making the report on behalf of Catherine because she's not here. Josefina and I,
all right,
we're the board members on the advancement committee. And I'll be brief because some of this is redundant to Lisa's comments as executive director. But here you see the monthly report on where we stand in terms of our advancement goal for the year, which is 800,000. And with 2 months to go, we're very close, and we expect to exceed that goal. Over a little over 42,000 of that is the spring benefit that's coming up. So we plan to make more money at that benefit next week. And there's still some pending grant applications that we're waiting to hear on. So in terms of a goal achievement, this is a good report. Next slide, please. Again, a reminder, the Heart of Oakland event is next Thursday. It starts at 6 p.m. We have about 247 registrations. That's 100 more than the last benefit. If you've not registered, please do so. In order to participate in the live auction, you need to be registered. Also, if you've not gone to the silent auction, please do so. There's a lot of great items. So far, we've raised about $5,300 through the silent auction. It's going to be a great event, and all the emphases are participating. So it's a great showcase for OSA. Next slide. Just some key things to update on. This report reflects an increase of 120,000 in funds raised since last month's report. In terms of the annual fund, 46% of families have participated. We really would like to get that number higher. The Heart of Oakland is a great way to do that. So again, if you can participate and donate at the event and participate in the auctions, that would be great. And finally, there's also, due to the generosity of the Miranda Lux Foundation for Fashion Week, there will be a spring fashion show, and they donated $15,000. So that's another great way to match those funds and get the parent participation up for the annual fund. And that's the end of the report.
Thanks very much, Steve. I appreciate that. So yes, public comment, please, again, put your name in the chat. And again, just 2 minutes max, please. Okay, I don't see anything in the chat. Let's transition to a board comment. Anyone from the board?
Good job, we're almost there.
All right, everyone. So yeah.
So Wayleen went first. I just wanted a couple things. I didn't want to go first. Real quick, I believe that the Finance Committee, those are basically the slides that we saw as well, but I would recommend the next couple of months that we can combine the two meetings, or at least have the members of the Advancement Committee join us for our meetings, because this is the time of budget planning where we're going to set a number. I would encourage all board members to bid on items in the silent auction other than the ones I'm currently bidding on. Thank you.
I just wanted to say that, yes, I think we should just do joint meetings of those two committees, at least for the next couple of rounds.
Yeah, if we could ask staff to help make that happen with schedules, that would be great. Much appreciated.
Perfect. Thanks, Mike. Thanks, Josefina. All right. Again, any other comments from the board? All right, OSA community, this is where we will break out into closed session. I promise we will come back. We are scheduled, just kind of looking, we're definitely a little behind on our scheduled on the agenda. We have about 45 minutes allocated for closed session. We will come back approximately 9:50, and anything that I can report out, we will report out, and then we'll formally close the meeting out. So board members, please, let's go to our other conference line, and I will do roll call then. Thank you.
Board members, I've put you into a breakout room for closed session. Board members, if you have not been moved over yet, just be patient. I'm finding you in the attendee list. Thank you.
It's okay.